John Lord, the keyboard player from Deep Purple, has passed away at the age of 71. Glenn A. Baker, you met John Lord, the great man, Glenn.
Yeah, a wonderful, gentlemanly figure with all the wisdom of the ages and a wicked sense of humour. He was an intriguing man. I mean, he was one of those figures upon which sort of rock seriousness, in a way, was built. By the end of the 60s, he was the guy who was classically trained and had sort of, I suppose, aspirations for taking rock somewhere else again. And at the end of the 60s, he put together this thing called Concerto for Group and Orchestra, whereas Deep Purple and the London Symphony Orchestra got together in the Royal Albert Hall.
And that's a format that's so common these days. Every rock band worth their salt now comes out and does a tour with a symphonic orchestra.
Yes, you're right. I mean, and every rock band that now has, I suppose, pretensions to be, you know, to being serious has worked with a symphony orchestra, but not before Deep Purple did it. The thing about, I mean, people will remember that indelible riff from Smoke on the Water, which you're playing. Which is Ritchie Blackmore's riff, but John Lord gave the band the framework to work around, to be, like I said, you know, lofty and way, sort of a bit schizophrenic. On one hand, they're in the Guinness Book of Records for being the loudest, most ferocious, and on the other hand, they're nearly classical. You would go and see Deep Purple perform, and because of John Lord, you were seeing this wonderfully progressive band with great flourishes and dimensions and all that stuff. And I mean, he kept the band, he was the glue that kept the band together through various lead singers and lead guitarists and other members, because he was just this sort of, you know, this bedrock musical figure. Interestingly enough, before Deep Purple, he was in a band called the Artwoods with Ronnie Wood's brother, Art. And he came out of there, but we suspect that something was wrong. He hasn't been on the last two Deep Purple tours, and you know, sort of the illness was you know, creeping up on him. But he was very upbeat. He was very much saying, well, you know, I've just got to pop into hospital and get this little matter sorted out, and then I will be back making music again. And one of the people he made music with, interestingly enough, if anyone's ever come across a DVD or an album by the Hoochie Coochie Men live at the Basement in Sydney, they will know that the lead vocalist was a fella by the name of Jimmy Barnes.
There you go.
And
it goes full circle, doesn't it?
And
he was wondering, because when Curtis, the drummer, said he wanted to put together a supergroup, I think John Law was actually the first person recruited into what became Deep Purple.
Yes, very much so. Look, and Deep Purple just changed very much the face of rock, because we had gone from, like, you know, pop and at the end of the 60s to suddenly with Deep Purple in rock in 1970. I mean, you know, Child in Time and Black Knight and then Under Strange Kind of Woman. A different sound of rock built upon, you know, the Marshall amplifier stack and like I said, a sort of a ponderous, imposing tone and all that. And he was this guy sitting up the back of it all, obviously in control and, you know, in charge of it all, while, you know, sort of, you know, Blackmore and Gillan and, you know, the comrades roared and stormed out the front. But he was such an anchor, and he was a fabulous musician, and like I said, sort of, you know, a rather engaging man as well.
And it's a sad day that he is no longer with us. Lovely to speak to you, Glenn, as always.
Take care, mate.